The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar, discover legendary tastes with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
I love men in kilts, or men out of kilts. Hello and welcome to the Fangirls Podcast. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Julie, and we are so excited to be here with you guys to dish and spill the whiskey. I mean tea.
Today, we are talking about Men in Kilts.
Men in Kilts premiered on Stars in early February 2021. This is a documentary that it's like National Geographic meets Hot Men in Kilts.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Sam Heughan, who plays Jamie Fraser on Outlander, and Graham McTavish, who played Dougal McKenzie on Outlander. He was killed off at the end of season two and came back in a surprise cameo playing his late character's adult son, Buck, in season five of Outlander.
Can you believe that Graham McTavish is 60? Why is he so hot? I mean, it goes without saying why Sam Heughan is hot. Graham McTavish is just
killing the game.
He's got it going on. This is a documentary-style show, and it's an absolute delight, and it follows Sam and Graham as they take a road trip through Scotland. And it highlights many of the magnificent facets of all things Scotland.
Like food and drink.
And sports, song and dance.
Superstitions, culture, traditions, and travel.
Clans and tartans. And finally, Culloden.
It's basically a beautiful love letter to Scotland. The Scottish people and, most importantly, Outlander fans.
Sam clearly has a deep love for his homeland, and it is so apparent in every episode of Men in Kilts. And at the same time, he has such a deep appreciation for his Outlander fans. He knows that we would love to see more of him. And man, we did get to see more of him.
We definitely did.
He ran into an ocean.
Episode two.
Butt naked.
Outlander, there was an intimacy coordinator to help with those scenes.
Yeah.
Those type of scenes.
Yeah.
Men in Kilts. I'm of the assumption that Sam's just a team player and likes to run around naked.
He just ran straight into a freezing cold ocean because he lost a bet. When it was on the sports episode, he lost the bet. And he ran straight into a freezing cold ocean and naked, holding his family jewels, and just ran right in there. You know what was nice to see?
What?
Jamie's back without all the scars. I mean, I know it's Sam Heughan's back, but I was like, oh! Scar-free Jamie back. That's wonderful.
So my first reaction was, this had to be pre-pandemic, because my other mindset was, how did he not get pneumonia jumping into that ocean? That looks cold. No, thank you. But Sam Heughan.
He's like descendant of like Vikings. I feel like he could put him in any situation. He's like, I will survive.
I think another thing that should be most definitely highlighted is the chemistry between Sam and Graham.
Oh, yeah. Them together is genius. They are so funny.
I'm just going to selfishly put it out into the universe.
Do it.
I mean, the hosting chemistry between them opened up a lot of doors. And I personally would love to see them host the Golden Globes together.
Yeah.
Under one condition. The prereq that I'm, again, selfishly putting out into the universe is I would love to see Amy Poehler and Tina Fey put them through a Golden Globes boot camp.
That would be hilarious.
Yes. Just imagine the promos.
Yeah. All four of them like riding off on a tandem bike into the sunset. That would be great.
At the same time, you have Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, who are the most qualified co-hosts / best friends who've continuously hosted the Golden Globes incredibly. Well, I'd say very successfully.
Yeah.
And I think they're ready to pass the torch. So why not pass it to these two guys who have that chemistry to do it.
Yeah, they're hilarious. So yeah, if you guys want to take an even deeper dive into Sam and Graham's road trip, their book Clanlands is available in hard copy and audiobook. And personally, I love a good audiobook. It's narrated by Sam and Graham. So if you just want to hear them talking in your ear for a few hours, I would definitely give that a go. So this is the part of the show where we spill the tea.
Men in Kilts has already aired in the U.S., but it is currently airing weekly in the U.K. So we will be talking about details from future episodes. But unlike a fictional show, there aren't really any plot points that are going to ruin the whole thing for you.
So feel free to keep listening. So Sam Heughan originally put up the financing to make Men in Kilts happen. He was joined by his business partner, and then stars got on board and they were like, yeah, we're going to help you guys make this show.
I love how the idea of the show was initially a podcast and how quickly it evolved into this amazing concept for a show.
Yes. So interesting announcement, Lallybroch, also known as Mid-Hope Castle, is being converted into a brewery.
I absolutely love that idea. A few months before the pandemic hit, I actually had the privilege of going to the UK for a quick trip and made a trip up to Scotland. I was able to do an Outlander tour, had an amazing tour guide, met a lot of great people. But one of the first stops that we made was Mid-Hope Castle. One of the awesome things that our tour guide did as he was telling the story of Mid-Hope Castle, he brought a flask of whiskey. And you can tell that this is a pre-pandemic story because...
Yes, pre-COVID.
Yeah, very much pre-COVID. We all shared a dram of whiskey at Lallybroch.
That's amazing.
I feel like it would have been like 7 years bad luck if we hadn't. So yeah, that was the only whiskey I had throughout my whole Scotland trip. And the bar is just, you know, set so incredibly high now because of it.
Like, I can only have a dram at Lallybroch.
Yeah.
This is the only
I don't know how you top that experience.
Like, sitting on Sam Heughan's lap while doing it?
Yes.
I mean, while having a dram doing that.
Yes.
So, Sassenach Spirits is Sam's whiskey, and it's available on his website.
It's limited edition, so it goes pretty fast online.
And they also have other cool stuff like tweed bags, and everything is made in Scotland. So that leads us to the question, will there be a season two of Men in Kilts? I mean, there's many more stories to tell in Scotland, of course.
I can see Men in Kilts taking the road trip all over the world, like New Zealand, where Graham lives.
Or even America, as it coincides with season 6 and 7 of Outlander, because the Scottish influence isn't just condensed to Scotland. It's all over the world. So that would be really interesting for them to explore. And what I loved about the show is that they made it a cinematic experience. They would pair whatever episode they were doing with different clips of Outlander. And it was so beautiful and so breathtaking, especially the season finale of Culloden. And then when they were talking about the Dirks and like Dougal's, like, or Graham was like, this is my favorite weapon. And then it shows a clip of him like getting murdered with that dirk. I was like, I like what you guys did there. It was so good. Okay. So my favorite episode from Men in Kilts was episode 7, which is Clans and Tartans. And I just really loved seeing the history of how the tartans were made in the shop, how they're still using that machine from the 1950s.
There was definitely a authentic old country feel to it that I'm still like in awe of. And my high school mascot is a Highland Scotsman. So I grew up seeing Men in Kilts just at my high school.
Lucky.
Even our high school pep rallies, where especially for homecoming, we would have big posters on the wall that said real men wear kilts or real men wear skirts. And we would have our whole football team in kilts.
Are you serious?
I swear. And it would be Jonathan Davis went to our high school.
Oh.
The lead singer from Korn. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And so that would be like our homecoming anthem for our football team when they would walk into the gym. Everybody would be wearing like.
So in your high school experience, you got to just see a bunch of cute football players in kilts.
Yes.
Like, you know what ours was?
What?
A cardinal. That's not sexy. A big old bird running around.
Red bird.
Yeah, well, you're lucky.
I mean, we weren't the best at football, but...
Who cares? You just stare at the guys wearing kilts. Like, you don't need to be good at football. I thought it was really cool that they took time for the walking group. It's spelled W-A-U-L-K-I-N-G, walking, which is when the women that sing while they're, you know, working the material or the fabric to tighten, it's to tighten it and weatherproof the tartan. And they would sing these songs. And I love how Sam and Graham, they just like sat there in awe. It was like this moment of like, I almost felt like I was experiencing some ancient, you know, tradition. Like, it don't put me back in time. And that's kind of like the looks on their faces when they were watching.
There was an episode from season one of Outlander too,
yeah,
where these women are doing it. And I love how they made a point of showing that.
Yes, they went to that clip, except luckily for Sam and Graham, the women didn't like soak the fabric in urine.
Yeah, that's what they used to do. Yeah, I was wondering if that was really a thing.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, it was to set the dye. Okay. Because, you know, back in the day,
we've come so far.
Yeah, they didn't have, they had to dye each of the, you know, like the thread, mm-hmm, different colors. But now it's just, you know, done by machine. So they don't have to do that anymore. Everything's done by machine. They actually don't even need like walking women to do it. But I think they still do, just to kind of
keep the culture,
keep
alive,
the tradition going. Yeah. It was so funny how they, when they were going to the McTavish family seat or the castle Sween, and how Sam and Graham, they're in the helicopter and then they fly over and it's like, it's a caravan park. So in the UK, they say caravan park. Here we say trailer park.
Mobile home park.
Mobile home park. Yes. But basically, you know, it was a trailer park. And just Sam was just giving him the hardest time. Like, oh, yeah,
really
they couldn't afford to with the upkeep of the castle, but they have a caravan park.
I feel like that's just affordable living. Maybe better accommodations could have been made. But at the same time, Sam did a good job, like, giving it to Graham.
I know, they're so funny together. And then later in that episode, that's when they were like riding on the tandem bike. I love when they ride on the tandem bike and like Graham's like doing all of the work. He's like, are you even pushing? And Sam's like, no hands. He's just his hands behind his head and his like legs are just out and he's not even doing anything. And I'm like, what would I do if like all of a sudden that just rode by me on like my morning jog? I would just be like,
did I just see
wow,
that?
The most attractive thing I've ever seen has just ridden by me.
What is
on
life
a tandem
right now?
Bike. Am I dead? I might be dead. I don't know. But they're just so cute. And they're putting them in like suspenders and like the flat caps and everything. Guys,
I
want
to talk
giving
to
us
stylists.
All of this eye candy and like this beautiful Scottish, you know, backdrop. And then, of course, they had to cut to the scene where Jamie's getting in his kilt in, I don't even know what episode that was, probably mid-season of season one, where he like lays down and lays on the kilt and it's like his shirt comes up a little bit. I'm like, they're just making this show for us.
They really are.
It's
they
for
know
us.
Their audience.
It's so great. And then is it just me or do Sam and Graham have like the best voiceover voices, you know, when they're like narrating things?
Yes.
It's so good.
You could insert them into any National Geographic.
Yes.
Any children's story.
Yeah.
You know?
They're actors, so of course they're good, but like it just immediately takes you into like Scotland.
It really does.
And then they went to Beaufort Castle, which is the Fraser family or Fraser clan castle. So the Frasers arrived with William the Conqueror 1,000 years ago, 700 years ago, something mm-hmm. like that. And I guess the British, they destroyed that castle and it was rebuilt in the Victorian period. And so that's where you see them in this episode. They're standing there with the Fraser representative. But I'm interested as to why Sam doesn't know his history. But I was very curious, like the Hewin family, like what clan is that connected to? Because I know not all clans or not all surnames are directly connected to a clan. Like my mom's mom, her last name was Meek. And that I know that that clan is connected to another clan, but I did find out some interesting stuff about it. They were first found in Fife and they have a really cool motto, which is Jungor Ut Implir, which means I am joined that I may become full. But they migrated to Ireland and to America. So my mom always is like, oh yeah, I'm Irish and Scottish and a little bit English. But when I did Ancestry.com and I was looking at her family members, she's like almost fully, her mom's side is fully Scottish.
Oh, okay.
Like completely. But I guess because they migrated, it looked like she was from different places. But Meek is like Scottish through and through. Her mom had red hair. Her sister had red hair. I was not blessed with that. I wish I was. But
my last name is Johnson. I know it was originally Johnston or Johnstone with an E. They dropped the T and the E to sound more American and more accepted in the U.S. I do know that I'm more Irish than anything, but I do know on both sides of my mom and dad, there is some Scottish ancestry. So I know I have ancestors in Glasgow and Edinburgh.
That's so cool.
And that's about the extent of it.
Okay, so what was your favorite episode?
Oh, it's a toss-up between the first and second episode. The first episode was Food and Drink, and I consider myself a very dedicated foodie.
Yes.
And when I went back to Scotland back in fall of 2019, I am now just like, as I'm watching this show, kicking myself for not doing enough thorough research into the fine dining experience that Scotland offers.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad they did that episode because of that.
I love seafood. I loved everything that they served. And I'm over here watching this episode with my fish tacos. And I was like, this is not a close second in the slightest. But I did have some great food while I was out there. Hands down, I loved how they featured the chefs. I love everything that the Food and Drink episode covered altogether. I wasn't brave enough to try haggis. That's my own fault.
I don't think I'll ever be that brave.
Yeah. I did, however, try a really good scotch egg.
Ooh, tell me about that.
Okay, so you get a soft-boiled egg. Mm-hmm. Got to make sure it's runny in the middle. They wrap sausage around it, and then you roll it around in panko.
Ooh, yum.
Yeah. I'm maybe forgetting some ingredients here, folks, so I do apologize.
But is it deep fried?
Yes.
Oh, heavens.
And then they garnish it with tartar sauce.
That sounds so yummy.
Right?
I've had a deep fried soft boiled egg, but not like that.
I gave this recipe to one of my coworkers and she put maple syrup on it and made it a breakfast food.
Oh,
and
that's
a
great idea.
That is genius.
Yeah.
Why have I never thought
sausage
about
with syrup is super good.
Right.
Even bacon, but you know, we're American.
And they're huge.
So we need sugar. I love the part where Chef Tony Singh, after they get off of the fishing boat and he's like cooking up the lobster and the langoustine, you can just see like Sam and Graham, like little boys are like so excited to eat. I mean, it's just funny because like what do two giant men love more than to eat?
Right. Let alone getting paid to eat.
Yeah.
Doing the show of their dreams.
Yeah.
They're living the dream doing this.
It looked so good with like garlic seaweed butter and potatoes. I was like, sign me up.
I need to see if he has a cookbook. Not that I cook, but I'm now interested. Yes.
I hope so. But I feel like I would probably just destroy every recipe because I'm not that good of a chef. Like I can cook, but like that is expert.
That's art.
Expertise. You know, I can't even attempt.
He's over
something like
that.
We would
call that camping, and he's made it look like art on the shoreline.
So apparently Tony Singh is one of UK's favorite chefs, and he now has, it's called Tony's Supper Club, and with 12 guests, you can go to his house for a multiple course menu, and he will cook for you in his house. How do we get an invitation, Tony?
I don't know, but that's what I'm thinking we should do for our friendiversary.
Yeah, we're going to Tony's house, right? And he's making us some lobster. We're going to invite Sam
Make
and
room,
Graham.
Tony.
Yeah, they said
we're coming in hot.
It says 12 guests. This is amazing. You guys have to look this up. It's
what
called the Supper
it?
Club. It's tonysingh.co.uk. And it's called the Supper Club. I'm getting so hungry looking at this. This is insane. Like, how fun is that? You get to watch him.
What a good find.
Cook, and then you get to eat it with your friends. Okay, so yeah, Food and Drink. That was a good episode.
The other part of this episode that you could definitely tell was pre-COVID was the scene where they go to the whiskey mill.
Mm-hmm.
And they're swimming in barley.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched this episode and I was like, this has to be pre-COVID. There's no way this ever would have been allowed, regardless of the celeb status. But them swimming in the barley was absolute gold.
That was so funny. They look like they're such like big kids.
Mm-hmm.
I love that about them. It's almost like this big brother, little brother
Definitely
type of relationship means, where like Sam's always like bugging Graham and like his face. He's like just like shaking his head like, what is happening? But you could tell he like totally loves him. But he's Sam knows how to get on his nerves. It's hilarious.
It's that dynamic that makes me want a season two.
Yes. And even back to your comment about how they should host the Golden Globes, they should host the BAFTAs because these are some UK gents.
Absolutely.
I want to see them do that.
Yes.
Like wear kilts. Just that. Okay, fine. Maybe like, you know, a suit jacket too. Anyway, I digress. Okay, so what was your other favorite episode?
Oh, the sports episode.
Yes.
I do consider myself a fan of sports.
Yes.
And semi-competitive. I grew up playing volleyball, doing competitive swim as a kid. And to see how excited the two of them got just to compete against each other. And mind you, they're competing against each other throughout the whole episode. But there was a certain bet going on between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying Sam threw the match between him and Graham. But I am saying Sam's a team player and knows his audience. So when end of the episode happened, I'm going to say he, again, knows his audience.
Okay, so if you guys haven't seen this, you have to watch this episode because Sam loses a bet and we watch him run naked into the ocean.
Yes.
Full on naked.
Yes.
It's great.
Thanks for being a team player, Sam.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. Yeah, it was fun to watch them. I mean, they're both so athletic. So then they cut to the clip in Outlander when they're playing Shinty. So that is when, that's the episode where you see Sam and Graham. It almost looks like a cross between hockey and lacrosse, which is exactly what Shinty is. And they're just like beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah, they're going at it.
Yeah. And then Jamie ultimately wins. But that's probably, I don't know, that's probably one of my favorite moments.
Yeah, they held nothing back.
Yeah.
And just to show how rough the sport is.
Yeah, I guess what they said was that it was used to teach sword fighting, kind of, or sword play.
Oh, I see that.
Like,
with
in kids, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, and, like, the sticks and, like, hitting each other. And, you know, it's probably a good form of combat training.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like they're trying to kill each other, for sure. But how cute is Sam in his little golfing outfit? Why can he wear anything and nothing?
I want to chat with his stylist.
Yeah. Like, he was adorable in that little golf. Can you tell who the sport person is here? You, not me. I'm just like. And then, of course, the tank tops with the kilts and the throwing the thing over their heads. What was that?
Oh, at the Highland Games?
Yeah. I'm like, throwing the things. I don't know what
doing
they're
the
doing.
All
I'm
the
like,
things.
You look so manly and strong throwing that in your kilt. It's great.
Yes, it really is. The Highland Games, I would say, is very testosterone driven.
Yeah.
In general. Throw the big stick over there.
Pick up this really big stone.
Right.
Show us your strength. Which I
swing
love.
The thing a lot of times and make sure it gets further than the other guy.
Yeah, than the other guy. It's like, did this start when they were cavemen? Because it really seems like a caveman type of thing.
Really,
like,
yes.
Big men throw big rock.
Yes. I did enjoy seeing how they brought those Celtic traditions and keep those Celtic traditions in general.
So how cute were they in their little rugby outfits?
Oh, I think Sam has been waiting for that day.
Yeah,
where
they were
gets
so
to
excited.
Step onto Murray Field.
Mm-hmm.
Have the smoke and flair come out.
Just his face.
Oh, I know. It was everything.
And then Graham's like waving the smoke out of his face, pretending like he's coughing.
But that was
so good.
The comedic timing between these two.
Competitiveness from that scene when they're playing Shinty was kind of like a theme throughout this whole episode where it's like they're both sporty and athletic and watching them compete against each other.
And I did love Graham's commentary as Sam lost a bet and had to run naked into the ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't tell you how great their dynamic is, he's just chilling with binoculars.
He's got some coffee. He's like wrapped in a blanket. So just great.
But I also think Sam, again, knows his audience.
Yeah, the fans want to see Sam running naked.
I wouldn't rule out a season 2 all or nothing
battle. Yeah.
I feel like that has to be in the mix somewhere.
Yeah.
For season two.
Yeah, it's going to be even more competitive. I just can't stop thinking about the golf outfit.
To cater to the golf aspect of the show, they're playing golf in the Super Bowl of golf arenas.
Yeah.
So St. Andrews is the world capital for golf. And as someone who is not a fan of golf, does not have the patience for golf, that was cool.
I would watch golf. If Niall Horan and Sam Heughan were playing golf, I would watch.
Like just a hot guy, you know, golf challenge.
Yeah. Hot guy golf challenge for charity. Right. Sign me up. I'm donating. Yeah. The hot guy golf challenge for children.
Right.
That's what you make it for, the children.
It's kind of like the Derek Zoolander's, you know, kids who can't read good.
Yeah. This is school for ants. Now it is time for the Fangirl Spotlight of the Week, which goes to
Parkhead House. It's an award-winning bed and breakfast located in South Queensbury, Scotland. It is a 300-year-old gameskeeper house that has been converted into an idyllic bed and breakfast. A two-night stay is about $600 and includes an Outlander-themed tour that visits locations like Midhope Castle, also known as Lollybrock.
So when you were on your trip, Julie, you stayed at Nera Caledonia?
Yes, it's a boutique luxury hotel in the heart of Edinburgh. Legend has it, Sam and Graham stopped there for a quick dram. And I was chatting up their hotel manager, who it was actually his day off, and he came in just to pick something up at work and encountered both of them. The Nera Caledonia isn't that far from a lot of the Outlander locations, too. Mm-hmm. I was just super fortunate chatting up my hotel manager that evening when he mentioned that his dad does these tours, and was fortunate enough to take one of them. Was fortunate enough to take an Outlander tour with his dad guide.
So if you guys want to accidentally bump into Sam and Graham for season two, hopefully you go to Nera Caledonia. It's a boutique hotel. So what does the inside look like? Is it really pretty? Like,
it was very posh.
Ooh.
So if IKEA and Scotland had a love child.
Oh, yes.
It was very forward thinking.
Yeah.
They did a lot with the space in general. So I was very impressed with what I got overall.
And what was your room like?
Very space efficient.
That's very in line with IKEA.
Yeah. Huge bed, had a TV. I didn't need much either. I have the mindset of when I'm on vacation and I choose a hotel, my suitcase is going to be there longer than I am because I'm out exploring.
Yes, I love that.
So I was actually told to, or given a list of places to choose from, and I chose this particular hotel because it was based on its location and was not disappointed. The guest service was amazing.
So what I want to know is, how far is this hotel from Falkland Fife? That part of town is where season one, episode one of Outlander, this is where you see Frank and Claire crossing the street to go into their bed and breakfast. And then later we see Jamie's ghost staring up at Claire in Falkland Fife on that street. And that's where I want to go. So would I stay at this hotel if I wanted to go visit there?
Probably be the bed and breakfast.
Ooh, the bed and breakfast. Yes.
Yes, because my tour guide, James, was the one who gave us the tour. We started out at Midhope Castle and then worked our way back to all the other locations. I want to say Falkland Fife, give or take, is like a half hour, maybe 45 minutes tops.
From Edinburgh?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, not too far.
Not too far. So you could stay at either one if you wanted to. Like if you wanted to see Edinburgh and then go and do some Outlander sightseeing.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very conveniently located.
So when you guys are booking your stay at Parkhead House, be sure to go directly to their website to make your reservation. The website is parkhead-house.com. And we will put that website in the show notes for you guys. You'll definitely get a better deal that way, because when you go to the other websites, they usually have to pay a percentage to that. And we love helping small businesses as a small business ourselves. The people over at Parkhead House are just wonderful, wonderful people. So again, just go directly to their website when you book your stay.
Thank you for joining us today. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast to hear all of our latest episodes.
We want to answer your burning questions, so like our community page on Facebook and join the conversation.
See you next time!
Drop that sexy disclaimer.
Our disclaimer here at the Fangirls Podcast LLC is that we are not affiliated with Parkhead House, the Nira Caledonia, Stars, Sam Ewan, or Graham McDavish. Or Man in Kilts. We're just very dedicated fans.
Very dedicated.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar for the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.